Okay, good evening, everyone. This is M2NOV. I have the name of Charles from Staten Island in New York City, and I'd like to welcome you to the weekly shortwave and scanner listeners net heard on the M2ROW Link repeater system every Wednesday evening at 9 p.m. local time. The purpose of this net is to provide a general discussion forum for those who are interested in the different aspects of the radio monitoring hobby. And we cover all the frequencies that you could tune into all the way up to light, except for amateur radio, because we can talk about that at any other time during the week. Talk about who's on these various frequencies, what equipment you need to use, and what changes are coming along in the future. We have some basic ground rules for this net. One, this is a linked repeater system. So you should check out the website for the repeater system at www.mtrow.net and find the repeater that's closest to where you live and use that one. This way you can ensure that you get the best signal in the system. Also, since it is a linked repeater system, when you see up, pause for a second or two before you start talking. Otherwise, your transmission will get cut off at the beginning. For those who are checking in on the air, you're asked to give your call sign, name, and location. And please indicate if you're disturbing our traffic. If I ask traffic, we mean any comments or questions that you can share with everyone else. If you don't have any traffic, please say no traffic as you're checking in. This way we know to go on to the next person in the list. If you're not able to get into the repeaters for any reason at all, either because of technical difficulties, you're too far away from the machine, you have a weak signal, or you may not even be a licensed amateur radio operator yet, you're listening to us on the scanner, you can still participate. And you can do that via email. The email address for this net is nyzxa@yahoo.com. That's also the email address to use if you'd like to be put on our mailing list for any bits of news and hot topics that come along throughout the week. So at this point, we'll stand by for check-in. Please space it out so people are not stepping on each other and we can get everybody checked in. This is N2NOV.
Good evening. WA2XQ2, Bob in Elmwood Park, with traffic.
Good evening. This is 10WA2OKZ. Is transferred. No traffic.
Good evening. Welcome to B2KTV. Steve, Manhattan. No traffic.
Good evening. This is KT2JXT. Name is Ralph from the Bronx. No traffic this evening. Good evening to everybody on the net.
This is Kilo Charlie 2, Sierra Papa November, Carmine in Riverdale. No traffic.
QLZ. This is November 2, November Hotel Mike, Joe and Garfield. No traffic. Over.
This is 10-1-MLZ, Bob in Milford, Connecticut. Good evening. No traffic.
This is November 2, Uniform Mike Charlie, Frank Staten Island. Good evening to all. No traffic.
M2ROW, repeat.
Okay, so far we have WA2SQQ, WA2OKZ, WB2KTV, KT2GIK, KT2JXC, KT2STM, N2MHM, N1MLZ, and N2 to embassy. Anybody else?
4RW. Number 2, Sierra Charlie Romeo. Jim in Aberdeen with no traffic.
Flight Control, KC2, MMC, Terry, Arlington, New Jersey, no traffic.
Okay, once again, if you're not able to get into the repeater, you can drop an email at the email address nyxa@yahoo.com. Alright, let's see. Well, Bob, looks like you're the overall traffic tonight. Because the exhibit I'm going to throw in. So, let's go ahead and put you at 2SQ and follow me.
Charlie, good evening to everybody. Let's see, I have a few pieces of email here that I thought I would throw out, and I have a question. Got an email from our anonymous person who gives a lot of government information on New Jersey UTAC channel. UTAC 7 is 454.15 with a PL of 136.5. UTAC 8 is 454.625 with a PL of 141.3. And a new ITAC channel, number 6, 859.7875. Let's throw that out. I have a question. This should be really simple, but I'm just having one of those nights. Trying to download the manual in PDF form for Radio Shack Pro 2066. And I am looking on their site, and they have got the most asinine way of looking up manuals. They have all their manuals in alphabetical order. You do a search for the model number, the Radio Shack part number, and it just comes back as nothing found. So you've got to sit here and go through 3,000 alphabetical listings. I'm just wondering if anybody has a link or has a site that you can download a Pro 2066 manual in PDF. Back to you for the moment, Charlie.
Okay, I checked my records here in my hard drive, different manuals that I come across either because of equipment I own myself or people asking questions about. I tend to keep a copy of PDF and I don't see that in here. You've gone by the stock number. They have to put an extra zero in there first.
Extra zero in terms of where? The beginning or the end? The stock number is 20-195.
Try 20-0195.
Okay. Alright. Yeah, I picked this up a while back actually. I don't know, about a year or two ago, they discontinued it. It was one of these on sale, nobody knew about it. And I hunted it down, I found it at a Radio Shack in Englewood for, I think, $39. It's a nice chunky scanner. And I just dug it out because I'm leaving on Friday. I'm going to be out in Las Vegas. So I figured, let me program it up on the trunk system and that. And then lo and behold, I opened the box, which appears to be brand new, no manual inside. So that's why I'm looking for it.
62 XCX.
Go ahead.
Yeah, putting a zero in front of the second part of that product number doesn't work either. Because I'm actually sitting in front of my machine right now on the Radio Shack website looking that stuff up, and I have no luck. I don't know what it is else that I could tell you, but as of now, I have no luck. Over.
I saw in the manual section, it says product manual, 3,631. But they're categorized by product. You know, and it's like everything that they ever sold, so I'm just going down the list. I'm hoping that once I get to the scanners, it's going to be, you know, PRO numbers, and I can find it that way. But it's crazy. You know, it's sort by alphabetical listing A to Z, or sort by most recent. So I just can't believe it. I've never had to use the Radio Shack website for looking at manuals, but this is the poorest excuse I've ever seen.
And when I'm out there.
How is it that you got to the product manual listing? Maybe I can help you find what you're looking for.
The
manual in a PDF form linked on to their site.
I did that. I went through three pages and couldn't find a one. That was my first instinct.
Radio Shack, you can get the brackets to put two antenna masts together, but they don't have the antenna mast that match their own brackets. Nice.
Yeah, go figure. Anyway, that's where we sit at the moment. Charlie, not a whole lot going on. I've been a little busy here preparing for my trip and doing a lot of listening, but beyond that, not a whole lot going on. Looking at them over here, they're sorted now by model number, so it goes from Pro 2053 to Pro 2067. Guess what? No 2066.
N2ROW, repeat.
America. Go ahead, Charlie, over to you.
Another signal
before you, Bob. Is
there
somebody else in there?
I'm on email. That Charlie, yes, Bob. Just check your email that you gave me, the new one there, and the second link is better. I think it's the full manual. The first one is just one part of it. So the second, I just sent you another one. That's a better one.
Okay, I just got the first one that came in, and that's pretty much a, this is interesting. I'm just looking at the document number. I gotta go back to the Radio Shack page. They're showing the stock number as 200-0195. So they've added a zero at the end of the first part and beginning of the second part of the number. That might be the trick to find it. But, I found some of these abbreviated ones. I was trying to get the original manual in PDF. Point here, Bob. The second one didn't arrive yet, so Anyway, 200-0195. I'm going to try that.
I don't think you'll get anything near either.
Zero matches. Go figure.
Well, Bob, we can always put out a request on the mailing list to see if they has one. What are you looking for? Just the programming sequence or what?
I've got it here. I mean, it's kind of abbreviated. I got to program the whole thing up, and just a matter of going in there. I mean, I know enter the frequencies for trunking and so on, but in terms of how to get this thing to designate type 1 or type 2 and what the defaults are and so on, I'm sure I could sit here and figure the thing out if I spend an hour or two with it, but it's always easier to just read the manual.
KC2JXC. Yes. So you went to the Radio Shack website, right? But you're looking for a PDF format of the manual, not what they have up there. They just have pages of the manual up there. In other words, under different categories, care, maintenance, and features. Is that what you saw, Bob?
I mean, what I have is kind of, take a 30-page manual and type it out into a few pages of HTM. It doesn't really go into the detail. I'm looking for the entire manual, operating manual, in PDF, and I gotta believe somewhere it exists.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I don't know why they do this. They type this all out in HTML. I mean, put a PDF up there. They've done that with some of the other brands.
You read the instructions, it says they have all their manuals in PDF form. So I don't know. Maybe I'll give them a call tomorrow and find out what's what, if I can't search it out. That exists somewhere. But anyway, I thank everybody for trying at least here. Back to you, Charlie.
I think I know somebody who has one that might have this in PDF format, so I'm just trying to give him a call and wasn't home right now. Well, might be calling back. Bob, why don't you take one and take this home? That's what I'll be.
Very good. Yeah, Bob, I got your other list there for Las Vegas. Going to program this radio up and most of that stuff. Should be interesting. See what's going on. But I'll be content with one frequency. I just hope I get out there and that they're still using it. With my luck, it's begun.
Yeah, only time will tell on that one today, Bob. Especially if they heard us talking about it, I'm sure that won't make a difference, but hopefully it'll be there still. It was there when I was there in September, so I'm pretty sure it'll be there. I don't know when they're going to switch over to the new system, but I think it'll be for a while. It'll be a while yet.
I would almost think that's probably the best frequency in Las Vegas.
Not sure my favorite. That's for sure.
So anyway, we have any additional check-ins while Charlie's on the phone there? WA2SQ2. Okay, I was reading on one of the websites that supposedly Bayonne's trunking system is up and running. I can hear the control channel here in Elmwood Park, but not so strong. I haven't really tried to
put the whole system in and listen to it, but looks like Bayonne is going to go trunking and perhaps Jersey City from what I've been reading, so that might be interesting. I don't know how much it's going to stay in the clear.
W8286,
you got a second?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, my issue of monitoring time is why your subscription is coming due in another month or two. You get it through the mail, or do you get a hard copy?
Well, I got to renew it. I didn't get this month, and I said, what's going on? And I checked, and it expired. So I got to call and renew it. The last 2 or 3 years, I've been getting it in the electronic version, and I can tell you hands down, I prefer it to the hard copy. I can print it out if I want. Work, I got a high-speed copy that'll bind it and all, so if I really want a hard copy. But I like the PDF format only because I can extract the pages I want and save those and so on. It's available as high res or low res, and if you do print it out, you know, all the pictures that you see in the printed version are black and white. In the electronic version, a lot of the pictures are in color, so I prefer the electronic version. It's cheaper, and I think it's great. The only disadvantage that I would say is your internet. Are you on a dial-up connection or broadband?
Well, I've got files broadband, and I also have a black and white laser jet printer, so the reason why I'm asking is I'm considering doing that. What do they do? Just notify you by email that it's available, or you go at a certain time of the month and download it?
I think on the 18th or the 19th, you'll get an email with a link, and you click on it, and then you can download either the high res or the low res or both, which is what I do. And you will receive it typically a week before anybody else gets it. So aside from the fact that you can download it, you know, on your own, you also get it much quicker. And the other thing I like about it is that if you're looking for a particular topic, you know, with the Adobe Acrobat Reader, you just do a Control F. You type in the word or whatever you want, and it'll search the entire document and take you right to it. So, in that respect, it's also much easier to find things.
Okay, I think I'm going to go that route. So I'm going to have to give them a call. Like I said, I got my second notice, and since I do have a laser printer, it's black and white, but I don't really care. And, you know, there is a lot of stuff like the shortwave schedule. I'm not, you know, really that interested in that. You know, I can leave that out and make a nice small copy and keep it on the disk. So I think that's what I'm going to do. Also, I think I read someplace that tomorrow they start the 700 megahertz auction. And one thing that confused me, they said, may take a couple of weeks. That must be quite a procedure that they're going through.
Oh, I was just looking through some frequency listings in Las Vegas, and there's actually some kind of Metro Police Department or something that's got a whole system on 700 meg already, but I looked and it's open sky, so that's digital and I don't know anything that can monitor it. There's a lot of, New York already has 700 meg channels in there, but I don't know anybody using them yet. You know, I think they're assigned on paper, but that's it.
Yeah, but I think that the big money deal, you know, between Verizon and Google and the rest of them, they're bidding for shelter that I guess for cell phones. I think that starts tomorrow.
I don't know what the deal is, but between that and between
analog TV going off the air in the early part of next year. It's going to be a real nightmare. I don't know if I've mentioned it here or not, but the one good thing I think is that analog TV going off the air is going to bring us is that for those of us who were reluctant to get on 6 meters because we didn't want to get our Work Bill Mavers Award, I'm already in progress. I got about a 75 or 100 watt narrow track that I'm going to put together for 6 meters. So that will do away with a lot of TVI issues.
Well, I tell you, I made myself a small phased array, had a coat hanger, and stuck it up in the attic. And I can see the 16 network stations, and some of the network stations transmit more than one channel. So if you have a 2.1, a 2.2, and a 2.3, or whatever, and I can actually pick up 35 channels. So there's a lot of activity over there. I just don't know, how the cable companies are probably just going to pick one and that's going to be it. I can't see how they're going to get all those. Channel 11, 11.1, 11.2, 11.3, forget it. But they are there, and it's very interesting how they got them. Different stuff sometimes on each one.
If you look at Channel 50, I don't know if you can receive Channel 50 from up there, the CBS station out of Montclair, but I've seen them go up to 50-5. Then you have the station which IDs itself as West Milford, which is actually out of West Orange. If I'm not mistaken, I think they have 7 or 8 channels up there. I don't know if they can't transmit high def on all those 8 channels all at once. So, some of it is standard definition, but,
one of the other radios going off here.
So, there's a lot up there. But I do think it's going to cause a lot of problems. And where it's going to cause problems is there are those people that are using TV antennas and, let's say they're, New Brunswick or south of there, or let's say they're Parsippany or west of there. The coverage area of UHF television is a lot less than VHF is. So those people, unless they put up a much better antenna, they may not be able to receive it.
Hey, Rachel.
Not making it. That transmission was about 90% noise. And I saw some numbers now, and it was kind of startling.
New Jersey right now, about 23% of the people that live in New Jersey are not on cable or satellite, which seems so high to me, but nationwide is around 20%. So there's a lot of people that still rely on an off-air signal, myself included. I mean, I have you know, satellite and actually the Fios also, but I still use the off-air signal, you know, quite a bit. So it's going to get interesting. Charlie, over to you. I got a kind of a phone call waiting here around the side. I don't know. Are you back yet?
I am, but NI2O has just jumped in. This is the one I was talking to on the phone. Is that Mark?
Hello. How are we all this evening? November India 2, Oscar. Had a look to that book, didn't find it. Take another look to it. So, well, that's what it was, and I don't hold much hope. And, yeah, on the digital TV stuff, I don't know, I think you're right, about the UHF. But equally, certainly out my way, you know, I'm here to Western Morristown. And, I'm apparently, according to the FCC map, covered by the Philadelphia station here. Quite interesting. That's where the way to do it. You know, I do receive some of the UHF Philadelphia digital TV signals, so, you know, it's interesting. And, Charlie,
did you do the
thing yet about
NYC TV
and the traffic cam?
No, I didn't go over it. If you wanted to jump on it.
Yeah, okay. NYC TV. Overall, the subject of digital TV. I don't know if most of you starting might want to scan the channels, because the Board of Ed station, I forget it's called right now, has finally showed up. They're putting quite a decent signal out here in Randolph. And on their Channel 2, or their Blog 2, are a collection of NYC traffic cams. And they're dirty as all get out. I mean, really they are. The video is nasty. They're clearly taking the traffic feed and not doing anything to clean it up and then interpret it out. But it's quite interesting to sit there and watch. It's not about a 5-second cycle. It just flicks between a whole bunch of different traffic cameras listed around the city. And then the audio channel for that is the Board of Ed's radio station. Again, I don't remember what it is. I would say FME, but that's not right, is it? Anyway, so yeah, you might want to do a wee scan there. If you haven't picked it up already. And it's fascinating just watching the world go by, it really is. Just back to you, Charlie, and I got it.
And the Board of Ed radio station is WNYE, November Yankee Echo on 91.5. A link to something. It's in text format, it's not PDF, but at least we'll get you started.
Hey Charlie, I'll check that in a moment. You sent it to my Verizon account?
No, the Yahoo account.
You mean NYDXA?
Yep.
Hey, I'll check that. That you had there, or that Bob had sent me. And it goes through the basics, but there's a whole lot that's missing out of there. It'll get me going, though. I'm going to give them a call tomorrow and see what the deal is on it. I can't believe it doesn't exist.
Okay, that's right. Bob, I think I doubled with this. Yeah, I sent it to the wrong one, but I resent it to your other one, but you got it already. So, yeah, it's, at least they have the exploited view there of the parts in the, you know, the, at the bottom there, so that's kind of cool. That's the PDF.
Yeah, Charles.
Time now it is 9:37. We'll stand by for additional check-ins and for emails. Again, if you're not able to get into the net, go to email address at nydxa@yahoo.com. Okay, we'll stand by for check-ins. Please space it out. This is N20B. Say again, Mark, you had a lot of noise in your audio.
Hey, did we do shortwave stuff yet?
Nope, not yet. I know you've got some things you can work on this weekend. So I want you to have it, what you got.
I've messed about with DRM again on shortwave, and as probably all discovered or read from the radio press or whatever, it's official, we're at the bottom of the sun cycle, so it only gets better from here, allegedly, and I was just messing around with that, with DRM stuff, and I bagged a couple of new stations, not new as in new come on air, but new as in not been banked in the US before. So I received, hang on, I banked a TDF from Interdune in France, that's just north of Paris, and they're running a kilowatt of DRM on So, 5895, that's what they're on, I'm sorry, running a kilowatt, and normally, they would not be received over here, but, you know, just not enough energy to make the trip for a broadcast station, but they did, and I've been successfully receiving them for the last, I don't know, about 10 days or so now, and more than that, I had a chat with via email with one of the station managers there, who in turn has had the mode adjusted. I don't know if you know, the DRM has the various different modes, and one of them is a DX mode. So what they do is they cut the data quite skinny so that they can put more of the transmitter energy into tighter band space and send it further. Has resulted in, so far, 100% coffee all day. It can get a bit scruffy if some other local broadcaster pops up, but, you know, so far I've been pretty successful at that. And, unfortunately, it's in French, so I don't really understand quite much of what's going on. My French is not that good. But, yeah, so they're up and running quite well. I lied, they're 3965, 3965, and actually they're there now. I'm just looking up at the receiver, and if you look at the end stop white noise signal, I have it about an S7 to S8 here, and it's 100% code here in the shack at the moment. So that's one of them. Let me jump to NI2O. did anybody take part in the HARP test this weekend? You know, the 7 megs moon bounce experiment. I had a go, did quite well on Friday night. Didn't do so well on Saturday night. Friday night was quite easy, just a very, very, very clear, you hear the station, the tape. I didn't know which way round it was. Just telling my recording, just to think we could hear the which one is which, but I couldn't work it out. But when I did it Saturday night, or rather Thursday, Sunday morning, I could only hear a very faint tone. So I don't know whether it was the base station or the echo. But I used my DRM software for it, because, you know, the DRM software is all about PST and stuff. I was able to do that, and I took some screenshots too of the waterfall, and you can clearly see a red stripe, you know, as we received the echo back. And so that was fun. I've never done that before. And who knew that these could actually do that? So there you go. NI-12. Thank you, Charlie. What was really fun was listening to the audio through Windows Media Player, the recorded file, and having as the background image the oscilloscope pattern. And you can actually tell the difference what was the original signal being broadcast up away from the Earth, because it had much stronger amplitude. And then a second later, hear the echo come back with the smaller amplitude. And as the signal was going across an uneven surface of the moon, you can hear it wobbling. And it was just fascinating. And it made it sound a little surreal when you hear that little unevenness as it comes back. And it almost was part of, you know, reminded me of sound effect from one of the first few Star Trek films when they were having signal breakup. Mark, do you have a link to that audio sitting on your website somewhere? No, but I, by the end of the day, I can have it posted.
Okay, and I'll send that out to anybody so they can hear what's catalyzing what I'm describing.
Okay, it was an interesting thing for them to experiment with, considering that if they tried it later on in the sunspot cycle, the MUS would have been past the 7 megahertz. It would have been a little difficult. Like I said, as soon as Mark sets that up, I'll forward out the link to everybody.
I've got a couple of things I want to throw in there while Bob checks the email. And if you're not able to get in for whatever reason, drop an email at nyexa@yahoo.com. The things that I've got are a little interesting. You know, I had you listening to the VHF aircraft test, and you'll hear control towers, approach frequencies, departure frequencies, ground frequencies, weather reports, things of that nature. Well, there's a whole block of frequencies between 128, 132, and another block of 136 to 137 that is basically used for operations of the airline company itself, for phone patches and pay cards. Data is sent back and forth from the plane. The company that controls a lot of that traffic is the Aeronautical Radio Corporation, also known as ARIC, A-R-I-C. So it turns out that they've got some frequencies that they set aside for the aircraft to make special requests or phone patches, especially when it comes to a medical picture. Around this area, because there's so much traffic in the New York City tri-state area, that they had to break it down. Much parts of the area are on what frequency. So if you get your pencils ready, I'll give you a quick little list. But if you get traffic on these particular frequencies, you'll know approximately what section of the sky you're in.
AM mode?
Track that has LaGuardia at one end and Pittsburgh at the other. The frequency they use in that area is 129.350. The next section, if we put JFK at one end and Hyannisport up in Massachusetts, not far from Boston, Cape Cod, they use 129.900. Take another section and we go from JFK all the way down to DC. 450. And I'm going to give you another one, but you may think it's a little strange because I'm giving you this one, but for airplanes when they're 20, 30,000 feet up in the air, you can actually hear the traffic 200 miles away. This track goes from Boston out to Buffalo, New York. So basically, probably all of Massachusetts, a bottom part of Vermont, New Hampshire, all the way across the major part of New York State. And they use 129.400 for that. Now, another service that's tied in with this, seems to be mostly medical related, called Implanta Radio. And they have a section that covers most of the East Coast, basically from Connecticut all the way down to South Carolina. And that frequency is 129.500. And there's one other frequency that's centered on JFK, but I think it's mostly for any planes that are coming in over the ocean, and that's 130.900. So, some interesting things to listen to on VHF aircraft there.
Are these AM mode?
Yep, everything is in AM mode.
The Boston Buffalo frequency, was that 129.400?
Yep, that's right, Ralph.
Charlie, when I've been listening to these aircraft on the aeronautical HF frequency, I hear them make reference to some of these frequencies, telling another aircraft, like the New York here, telling an aircraft to go to some of these frequencies.
Yep,
yeah,
it's definitely one big coordinated effort, whether it's HF frequencies when they're overseas or VHF when they're domestic, that they will always be told by the controllers what the next frequency they should be checking in on. So it's never in the blind. They know exactly where they should be. From the time they start up the engines, to take off, they're told to go to this particular ground frequency, then they're told to go to this particular taxi frequency, and they talk to the tower, and they talk to its departure frequency, then they're en route, and they're told every step of the way what the next frequency is that they should be going to. So you're going to see this handoff even between VHF and shortwave.
Yes, Charlie, it's interesting because as, let's say, long-distance flights go up in the air, at one point in this part of the world, they'll be on the on what I would call the day frequency, which would be 11, and, I forgot right now, but then as they travel away and they go to the other side, they switch over to a lower frequency, basically.
Well, the choice of frequencies they use on the shortwave band is for the maximum usable frequency in the path between wherever the plane is and who they need to talk to. So if it's going to be a nighttime path, obviously the frequency is going to be lower. If it's a daytime path, then the frequency is going to be a little bit higher. And, you know, even when they reach the other side, let's say they're going here to Europe, when they get to Europe, they're using VHF over there. And in fact, over in Europe, especially in England, aircraft listening is a big segment of the standard market.
But that's quite interesting. I didn't think about that, how the VHF would be on the other side. I'm always monitoring on this side. I'm close to LaGuardia, actually. I get that a lot of times from there. But, you know, Charlie, those shortwave HF frequencies that I put on the message board, those are quite active. I mean, you know, they're not continuous, but, you know, they don't make communication with anything. They're quite active. They're all on sideband mode. So there's a lot of listening. I mean, I've gotten quite a number of hours of enjoyment and logging for that stuff.
Yet when you're listening to the HF frequencies for aircraft, and you're going to hear them mention a four-letter combination code, and then you're going to hear a series of tones when they test it, that is sort of like a PL tone. Okay? Think of it as, you know, if you've got hundreds of planes flying across the Atlantic, going to different cities, and they're all checking in with Andrew Newfoundland on, you know, 5550. Okay? But they don't want to hear each other's traffic. So they've got a setup where each flight has a different combination of letters that when the ground control needs to talk to a particular plane, they will hit certain tones which will open up the squelch of the radio in that plane. Otherwise, pilots don't hear anything on the frequency.
Do hear that tone. From time to time, I hear three tone different ranges, but I do hear the tone. Is that what the one you mean?
Yep, listen very carefully when they first check in with the ground control station, and they'll say that their series is, you know, four particular letters. You know, Alpha Mike, Charlie Quebec. And they'll read it back, and then all of a sudden you're going to hear the tone. There's a test.
There's a PDF I downloaded. Pretty good. It's called the HF Management Guidance Material for the, what is it called? All these stations, Bordeaux Radio, Gander, you know, New York. I think I put a link up on that message board too where you can download this, and it tells you exactly the frequency uses, the different areas of coverage. Also, they have the Volmec and the
SAR frequencies on there as well. There's another site where you can actually see the map coordinates of all of these different ones, where they fly, what's their area. It's an aeronautical HF radio map, which is very interesting. I downloaded and printed it out. I have it here to guide, me when I'm looking at this little vector chart.
It's a nice map, Ralph. Thanks to an employee that works with myself. Get out. Okay, the frequency that I printed on it.
Charlie, I know you stopped talking because I had the courtesy tone on the repeater, but I only got thanks to an employee, and after that I lost.
Now you said that particular company that Mark and I both worked for at one time, they had paper that was 11 by 17 in size. And I took that map and blew it up to the full size of the paper, just so I could read all the little numbers.
Yeah, well, I printed it out at work on a Xerox color crystal on 12 by 18. And actually, the JPEG is a lot larger than that. I had to fit the print. But it's a lot larger. I can tile it, actually, and have it taped up and make one the size of the wall, actually.
Well, that's going a little overboard, I guess. But the information is there. Anybody can, like Ralph said, everything is on the New York City message boards at n2nob.net. Also, this weekend, I've been updating some of the pages, some of the call groups for EMS on the New York City Hewitt system, some of the interoperability frequencies, like Bob read off the new ones earlier this evening. So, you know, go on there, you know, check out some of the new stuff. And again, you know, we're trying to figure out what's going on with the UHF system. So if anybody's been listening to that new UHF system in the 482 area, you know, pass along your notes to everybody. This way we can all try and figure it out. Alright, Bob, do you have anything new in the email? It'll be in 2SQ on 12B.
Not at all, Charlie. So a moment ago when there was nothing new on it.
Good question, Charlie.
Okay. Alright. I just have one last thing. It's a request from Richie N2ROW. He said that some of the backup batteries for the system that they've been using for a while have, you know, a little light in the tooth right now, and need to replace the backup batteries. So we're looking for people who either have a source of high amperage, deep cycle marine type batteries, or would like to get together and maybe get a set of them to put in some of the remote sites of the system. This way the system gets the capability of staying on the air in case of any problems. And I know we all enjoy using this computer system throughout the week, whether it be ThisNet on Wednesday night, the KQIRTNet on Thursday, the New York City Eric's emergency communications net on Monday nights, or just chit-chatting as we drive back and forth. So if you might like to help out, Richie could really use some help as far as the batteries for backup. So contact me, and then we'll coordinate and get something put together.
Hey, Mitchell.
Go ahead, Mark.
I've uploaded those files, two pictures and an MP3. And T7LPT.com or other www.T7LPT.com/HAARP. And it's literally just three files in the directory. So people can take a listen. There's a picture in there of the audio filter that I made, the software audio filter, and you can clearly see the CW carrier spike. There's a picture also of the tone or the CW carrier appearing in a waterfall type display. You can see a red stripe followed by a slightly vague yellow stripe in there. And I forgot to mention the other DMM station that I bagged for the first time, as in not the first time that I bagged it, but the first time it had been bagged in the States, was by Echo Rumsfeld's B5 Actuel. They're a 24-hour news service, and just, you know, kind of rolling headline news type of thing. And I bagged them as well, and they're running Fleet Power from somewhere in Germany, so pretty pleased about that. All right, go ahead, head on to them. Okay, thanks a lot, Mark.
That'd be cool for those who missed the moonbound test on Saturday and Sunday.
All right, if there's nothing else, we'll say 7-3, and we'll catch you all next week. Again, make use of the frequency information on s1lb.net, nytxa.info. And if you have anything interesting you'd like to share with everybody else and you can't wait till next Wednesday, yeah, send it in. We'll pump it out by email to everybody. Okay, catch you next Wednesday. And s1lb clear.